Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
I love baptism and Baptism Sunday. And I was thinking about linger, and I was thinking about pausing in the presence of God. And I've been reading a lot of the different times where baptism happens in the Bible. We've been talking about it in youth. I've been studying it on my own. And there's a two parts to baptism. The first part is each individual person gave their life to Christ and chose to be baptized. And I believe that there is an individual work that happens in each and every person who got baptized today. God spoke to them individually. This is a marked change in their life as they move forward. The second half of it is we as a community witnessed every single person say, I believe in God, and I want to grow deeper in my walk with God, okay? As a community, we now get the opportunity to have the responsibility of joining with our brothers and sisters in Christ and praying for them. Pray for every single person who is baptized for them. If the Lord puts them on your heart, take them out to lunch, okay? Yep. I want to encourage you, get involved in this process. Satan hates a unified church, so we want to be as unified as possible, right?
Right. Amen.
Amen. On that note, unity, as Christians and as when we give our lives to Jesus and when we walk into the calling that he has for each and every one of us, there's a shift in the way that we live our lives. The Christian life is not a life of bondage. It is a life of freedom.
I like that.
Okay? And there are certain blessings, there are certain expectations that we have as members of the body of Christ when we begin to walk in the calling and the purpose that God has for us. We receive freedom from bondage, victory over illness, victory over the poverty mindset, right? We get to walk in this. But there is a deeper calling that every single one of us has and expectations that we have of how we live our lives. Everybody say lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Lifestyle, okay? It would be a little bit bananas if I gave my life to Christ, okay? I'm Isabel. I don't believe in God. I gave my life to Christ. Some of you know my testimony. I walked away from the Lord. I came back. It would be insane if from the moment I walked back into relationship with Jesus, if a year later I looked and behaved like the person I was the day that I gave my life to Christ. Okay? That would be bananas. And that is not at all what it means to be a disciple. Here at this church, we are committed to creating disciples in order that you may disciple others. Okay? There is a calling on each and every one of you in this room, no matter where you're at in your walk with God. Maybe I'm here, you're like, I don't know if I believe in God. Guess what? He believes in you. So I don't know what to tell you. But to walk in that lifestyle of creating disciples. And a great example of somebody who emulated that lifestyle really well was Philip the Evangelist. Everybody say Philip the Evangelist.
Philip the Evangelist.
Philip. He is not Belle's horse in Beauty and the Beast. That's Philippe. I know. I got him messed up too. But Philip the Evangelist, we read about his story in the book of Acts and in mostly chapter 8. And a little bit of context to Philip as a man, okay? So at this point in the early Christian church, they are actively being persecuted by Saul, okay? This is before Saul has his experience with the Lord on the road to Damascus. So Jesus has died, risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come and was poured out on all the disciples, and they're in Jerusalem, and they're preaching, and everyone's like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing ever. And then one of their buddies dies, Stephen. Stephen is put to death. He's stoned. And scripture says Saul was there when he was stoned. Saul later became Paul. And was like, I don't like these Christians. And goes on a rampage. He starts going town to town trying to find Christians. And so it says that the believers, the disciples of Jesus, scattered. And Philip, we read his response and his story. And Philip is somebody who lives this lifestyle of evangelism and this lifestyle of discipleship. And I want to look at the example that he sets and encourage all of you to follow his example. Because every single person in this room, God has a calling on your life. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus sends out his disciples. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." This is not optional, okay? This is a task that he has given to all his believers to go and make disciples to which of the nations?
All the nations.
All of the nations, okay? Some of you are so focused on the nations. School. The people around you need Jesus so much. I was 4 years at a Christian school, and I'm telling you right now, at least a quarter of those kids need Jesus, and that's at a Christian school. Can you think about your workplace? How many more people need to know Jesus? And if we are to fulfill this calling to make disciples, we ourselves have to walk in that lifestyle where we and the people that God trusts us with are set up for success. Right?
Right.
So one of the very first things Philip does, and I think Philip is just the coolest. At the very beginning in Acts 8, chapter 4, Philip goes to Samaria. It says, "Those who had been scattered went about preaching the word." This is verse 4. "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds were with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. Many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was much rejoicing in the city." Where have we heard the city of Samaria before? Jesus and the woman at the well. Samaria was the enemy. They didn't like the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans, not simpatico, okay? They did not like each other. In fact, when Jesus is giving his parable of the good Samaritan, the Samaritan, it is shocking that he is the good guy. People are flabbergasted. It's like, a Samaritan, the good guy? The first thing that Philip did was he reflected Jesus. Nobody else went into Samaria. They didn't want to go, but Philip went. Because Jesus went to Samaria. Jesus went to the woman at the well. The very first thing that we all need to do is our lifestyles must reflect Jesus. I am not saying that you should dress up in a tunic and sandals and walk around Israel. Okay? I mean, you're welcome to. But what I'm saying is the people of Samaria were lost. They were unreached. And Philip knew that Jesus had gone out of his way. Jesus went to these people that nobody else wanted to talk to and loved them. Jesus had the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. If we are reflecting the life that Jesus lived, we have to live a lifestyle of compassion, of mercy, of love. We have to go out of our way to love our fellow brothers and sisters.
Come on, Isabel.
Jesus, his whole life was just, it was so much about sacrifice. The entire point of his life, he gave it up for us. Are we able to sacrifice our comfort for our neighbors? Are we able to get weird? Oh my gosh, I remember when I was in high school and I was so gripped by this. I was like, man, I'm being silent and my friends are not receiving the gifts that God has for them. And oh my gosh, I will never forget this. Literally, one of the football players, who was just so dreamy, he walks in with, like, a broken leg, and he sits next to me in English class, and the Lord was like, "You got to pray for him." And I was like, "No." That's so embarrassing. Like, what if I pray for him, and he doesn't get healed, and, like, he's so hot, and I'm so, and, like, and I just kind of was like, "Hey, how are you?" And he's like, "Good." And he's like, "Can I get your notes?" And I was like, yeah. So I see you're in a cast. So I'm a Christian, I say, at a Christian school. And I believe that Jesus heals. Can I pray for you that you would get healed from having a broken leg? And he said yes. And I was like, oh, thank God. So I'm in the back of the classroom with this guy. And I'm just like, I'm not going to touch him. I'm like so scared. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And I prayed for him. And I was like, "How does your leg feel?" And then the bell rang, and he was like, "See you later." And I was like, "Wait a second, we're not done here. How does your leg feel?" But then I remember, I was like, "Lord, I don't know what happened." And I mean, I'm sure that God healed him, or at least met him in that place. And the Lord said, "You know, it was about your heart for him and your heart of obedience." Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done.
Good.
See, culture teaches this mindset, and people are mean to each other, and people, you know, are selfish, and everybody says, oh, it's because I am anxious. It's because I'm depressed. I'm bipolar. My parents were mean to me. I have trauma. We all do, okay? My parents weren't mean to me.
Thank you.
But we as Christians, we don't have the luxury of excusing bad behavior because we have a Savior who took it all on the cross.
Come on,
okay?
Come on.
Jesus didn't go about his life alone. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If we are to reflect Jesus, we don't do this alone.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit is with us.
Amen.
When we have a bad day, listen, I'm not saying bad days don't happen, okay? I have bad days, you have bad days, we all have bad days. But what I'm saying is, when bad days happen, when heartbreaking things happen, if there's trauma and pain and depression and anxiety, you give that to Jesus and you choose compassion.
Yeah, come
you
on.
Choose kindness. You choose mercy. You think Jesus didn't have a bad day? I was reading through the Gospels. Almost in every city he went to, it was like, and they wanted to kill him. And it's like, can you imagine walking around and like healing people and people love you? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here come the Pharisees on their warpath again. And Jesus is like, shoo, and walks through their midst, and he's fine. But our lifestyles have to reflect Jesus. Philip traveling to Samaria, and his heart for the Samaritans was overwhelming. And the whole nation is brought into revival, the whole area of Samaria. They're experiencing. There are unclean spirits. People who are paralyzed are walking, right?
Come on.
It's so major that a group of, like, the, I don't know, higher-ranking disciples, Peter and John, are like, they hear about what's happening, and they're like, we got to go down to Samaria and help him. There's so many people. So this whole group of them all go down to Samaria, and they're praying for people, and there's, like, some guy who's, like, pretending to be Jesus, and they're like, no, and he's like, oh, like, I want to pay you for Jesus, and they're like, no, but it's okay, because Jesus loves you. And then we reach verse 25. If we are to be disciples who disciple people into the kingdom, we have to reflect Jesus. We can't show up with judgment and anger and fear. We have to show up with compassion and mercy and love.
All right, come on.
The second thing that we need to do is what Philip does in chapter, starting in verse 25. They solemnly testified, spoke the word of the Lord, and they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went. What did he do?
He got up and went.
Okay? It's important to remember. There was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And then he said, do you know what you're reading? The second example that Philip sets is he's obedient. Okay? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your community. Each and every single person in this room has a totally different story than the person sitting next to you. Your story, your journey to the Lord is important, is significant. All of Philip's buddies are all going back to Jerusalem, but the angel of God said, nope, I have a different plan for you.
Come on.
Your calling isn't going to look like everybody else's calling. You know why? Because you're not like everybody else.
That's right, Isabel.
I could stand up in front of a group of 100 people and I could share my testimony, how God healed me of depression and addiction, and how he loves me so much. And maybe, let's say, 10 of those people relate to my story, to the way that God loves me, and 10 people give their lives to the Lord. If I take 9 other people, and they share their story, they share their testimony, we could get all 100 people into the kingdom.
Come on.
Your story matters. Your testimony is powerful.
Yep.
Be obedient with your testimony. Your calling looks different. And Philip, this is hilarious. I don't know if you caught on to this, but this guy is in a chariot, which is like back in Roman times, the equivalent of a car. So he's like driving in a car and Philip's like, wait, wait. He's running up next to them. Slow down. Are you reading the prophet Isaiah? But he's obedient. And spoiler alert, the Ethiopian gives his life to Christ because of Philip's obedience. With me and that high school guy, right? The Lord was really after my heart for obedience. When I moved back to Colorado from Oklahoma, I went to school at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I won't sing you the fight song here, but if you want me to, just ask me after church and I'll do the whole thing. We have a terrible basketball team, but I love them. So Oral Roberts University is a Christian university, okay? I spent 4 years, for the most part, surrounded by Christian people, right? I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the Bible Belt. Have any of you ever been to the Bible Belt in the United States of America? Everybody goes to church there. Like, everybody. Yeah. I was weird when I wasn't going to church, okay? And so for 4 years, I'm in Oklahoma. I'm surrounded by Christians. I'm having conversations with my classmates about, like, random things. Like, I sat down with one of my friends, and he was like, so what do you think about the sanctification of the Eucharist? And we literally had, like, a three-hour-long conversation about that. What that means in, like, normal terms is communion holy, yeah. Is what he asked me. And we talked about that, okay? Because I was in college, and that was cool. And then I came back to Colorado, and I'm, like, ready, right? I came back. I'm like, okay, God, you have a plan. I graduated. And I'm saying, like, I'm in drive-thrus, and I'm like, God bless you. And the person at the counter is like, what? That's what they say in Oklahoma. Like, you pass somebody, and you wave. You know, you have that, like, nice southern hospitality. I'm driving through my neighborhood. Hey. Who's that weird girl? And I'm just like, oh, I'm not liking this as much, Lord, you know? This is kind of awkward. So I'm in a Walmart, and I'm bound and determined at this point. I'm like, I gotta win somebody into the kingdom. I'm like, I'm looking for opportunities. God's gonna put people in my path. I'm just like, I'm ready. So I'm in Walmart, and there's an elderly gentleman who is just having a really hard time finding what he came in for. And I'm like, I'm listening to him, and he goes, these bleepity bleep blah 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 blah. And when I say that, I'm not saying the swear words that he was saying. And I was like, oh man. So I was like, that man needs Jesus. And I walk up to him, I was like, hello, what are you looking for? Can I help you? And he's like, do you work here? And I was like, no. And he was like, you can't even get a worker to help me. And so I helped him find his thing. And he had calmed down. He was like, thank you. And I was like, you're so welcome. And he was like, they just don't make people like you. And blah, blah, blah. And like, you're so nice. And I was like, I don't want to take credit for any of this niceness because you seem like a nightmare. And it is the power of God that is helping me to help you. And so I was like, I'm actually a Christian, and I, like, all of the good things about me are from Jesus. And it was like something switched, and he was like, Christianity is the worst. I hate Jesus. I hate the church. And I was like, are you kidding me? You were just saying how, like, come on, man. And I was just like, okay, well, is there anything I can pray for you about? And he goes, prayer doesn't work. Prayer's fake. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I was like, have a nice day. And I left, and I got in the car, and I was calling my mentor, Pastor AJ, who, by the way, in remission, praise God.
All right, praise God.
Just gonna throw that in there. And I'm like, what is going on? And he's like, you know, the seeds are planted.
Yes. Yeah, come on. Yes.
You don't know what kind of seeds have been planted. You don't know what God's timing looks like. Sure. That man clearly had more problems than just me. He obviously had some issues with the church that God needed to work through, right? But then he was like, but God sent you and you said yes. You don't know what kind of opportunities are available to you until you say yes and you start looking for them, okay? I've got a complicated relationship with the church. We all do. But when you start looking for opportunities, when you start saying yes to the Lord, when you're obedient, God will place those opportunities in front of you. I'm not saying that you should run along a car and see if somebody's reading the Bible out loud, unless God tells you to, and then I'm saying you should do that, okay? But Philip was obedient. The angel of the Lord told him to go south, he went south. The Holy Spirit said to run up alongside the chariot, he ran up alongside the chariot. And you gotta think too, this guy's in charge of the money in Ethiopia, okay? That's a lot of money. He's not running up behind a Corolla, he's running up beside a Rolls Royce, right? Or like Roman's Royce, because it's from Rome. We can move on. That wasn't as funny as I thought it was gonna be. But we have to be obedient. We have to reflect Jesus. Because Philip, he's in Samaria. He's out of his way. All these people experience the freedom of God. All these people are experiencing healing, are meeting Jesus face to face. He's obedient. He sees this man going along the line, the road. And then the third part of our lifestyle is we should be prepared. Okay? This is verse 30. Philip ran up. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" This is one of my favorite verses. And the Ethiopian man said, "How could I unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip got in the rolls. He's sitting pretty. And now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, and he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Good question, right? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. This is pre-New Testament. Philip doesn't have the New Testament Bible to show this guy. All Philip has is his own experience and his knowledge of Jesus, but he's prepared. He knows the scripture. He walks in it, and he's prepared. Listen, if you are not spending time with the Lord, how are you going to show people who he is? If you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, how are you going to be obedient to it? If you don't know the scripture, how are you going to tell somebody how much life there is in this book? There's a lot of people in here. We grew up in church, but at a certain point, growing up in church and taking a hold of your faith for yourself and walking in it, that's got to be a choice that you make. Okay, the Bible is full of rich truth. Read your Bible. Get in the Word. Study the Word. Prepare yourself. Prepare your heart. Because God, if you are living the lifestyle that reflects Jesus, if you are obedient and you're looking for opportunities, God will send you those people. He'll put people in your path. Are you prepared to receive them? Okay? And I love this. When Jesus is talking to his disciples in Luke, he says that they're going to go up in front of all these people. And in Luke 11, or 12, 11 through 12, he says, "Do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." If you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, how are you supposed to hear him? Okay? That comes from time. That comes from energy, from effort. Yes, coming to church on Sunday is a great opportunity for you to spend time in the presence of God and to hear the Holy Spirit. But you gotta be in the lifestyle of listening to the Holy Spirit. When you drive, can you hear his voice? When you're falling asleep at night, can you hear his voice? When you wake up in the morning, sometimes I'll read my Bible because I really like to, actually. And I'll just be reading it for, you know, I read like a chapter every morning before I go on social media. That's my rule for myself. Great, great rule. I highly recommend it. But I'll be reading the passage and I'm like, okay, I gotta, you know, this person is supposed to post on Instagram. Like, I gotta get through this chapter. And the Lord, I can hear his voice. Stop. What did that say? And I'm like, oh man. And then I go back and I'm like, oh, this is so much better than that reel, than that giveaway announcement. Like, this is so great. When we spend time with the Lord, when we're prepared, and listen, you don't have to do it alone, right? Philip is a group of people. In fact, this summer, we're gonna continue our Foundations Hour classes here at this church. And we don't have the signups open yet. This is a little teaser, wink, wink, okay? I would encourage all of you to sign up for one of our classes. I'm gonna be teaching biblical Hebrew. What? Yes. It's going to be great. You will not, it's not like a whole class, okay? So you're not going to like leave it reading the Hebrew Bible like, I know every word in Hebrew, but you will get the basics. It's basics of biblical Hebrew. We have other classes. We're going to learn about marriage. We're going to learn about money. We have our discipleship class that we've been going through, and we will continue to go through different times of the year. But you don't have to do this alone. You don't have to prepare by yourself. There are tools available to you. There are resources available to you. We have a whole group of pastors. You know how awesome it is? So I feel very, what's the word I'm looking for here? Young when I sit in pastors' meeting because I'm quite young and the rest of them are... more seasoned. have about 6 different father figures in that room, including my actual father. I learn a lot, like so much. And that's just in like an hour-long meeting once a week. I go to young adults group. We have a young adults group here. If you are a young adult, come join us. It is really fun. A little crazy, but fun. Even the youth. When I'm preparing for my sermons for youth, when I'm reading the readings that we read on Wednesday nights at our fire nights, the Lord is revealing to me more and more. I have some of the smartest kids in the world in my youth group. They know the voice of the Father. They know the word so well. And the revelation that they're able to share with me, I'm like, that's so good. And then I write it down and I'm like, write a sermon on. Then the next thing that happens is the eunuch sees the water and he says, what's stopping me from getting baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. This man gave his life to Christ and then went down to Ethiopia. You know, Ethiopia is one of the oldest Christian nations in the world. You think that just happened? No. One man was living the lifestyle that reflected Jesus. He was obedient and he was prepared. And he led a very high-ranking official in the government to the Lord, who then went down and they all talked about Jesus. What can God do through you? Some of you have been praying for your family members, and some of this, you're playing the long game, right? There are conversations that you have with your family members that are a long time coming, and you get prepared and you're like, okay, I'm ready for this person to ask me about the Holy Spirit. And then they show up and they're like, so what do you think about the weather? And you're like, ah, I thought we were talking about God today, but they're not ready. But be patient, be obedient, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, create relationship. Jesus created relationships with people, right? I think about Zacchaeus. I love Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. Yeah, what kind of tree did he climb up in? So you all went to Sunday school. But Jesus says, I'm gonna go hang out at your house, bro. And Zacchaeus is like, oh my gosh, yes. I'm so excited, right? He builds this relationship for him. He cooks for him. There's a meal. Jesus and all of his disciples, all of these 12 dudes hung out with him for years. The disciples were between the ages of 15 and 25. Late teenagers, early 20s. Have you guys heard that? Did you know that? When you think about that and you look at Peter slicing people's ears off, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Were you ever 17? Like, yeah, totally. But these men had a relationship with Jesus. And from that relationship, they became disciples who discipled. And they started bringing people into the kingdom. And this is the process of evangelism. It's bringing people into the kingdom. And it's what we are all individually called to do. And I'm going to switch microphones. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Fast. Every one of you was placed in your community, exactly where you are, for a reason. Jesus says, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Are you going to be a worker who's ready to bring in the harvest? Yes. Are you going to be a good steward of the people that God has trusted you with? Your neighbors, even the annoying ones? My upstairs neighbors are the loudest individuals that have ever walked the face of the planet. I have called the police before because I was like, it's 3 a.m. And then I was preparing for this sermon and God was like, I love them. And I was like, I'm sure you do. I love them too. I am trusted with them and their dog. They don't cut the dog's fingernails, and so when he runs across, let's move on. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. He's trusted you with your workplace. You have coworkers who don't believe in the Lord? I promise you, you do. I probably don't. I work at a church, but I hope not. Schools. Are you guys in classes? Yes. There are friends who don't believe in the Lord. Are you representing Jesus well to them? Are you looking for opportunities to be obedient? And are you prepared? People have questions. Christianity is not a very
small religion. It's a pretty large one. There's a lot of different moving parts here. Okay? The gospel is easy. God loves you so much and that he died. Jesus Christ died so that he could be in a relationship with you. Will you be in a relationship with the God of the universe who created everything, who loves you? But then everything else that follows gets a little weird because you get into that honeymoon of like being a Christian, and we've all been there probably, and you're like, oh, God is so great. And then you hit your first valley. You're like, even though I walk through the valley, is this is a valley? Okay, is it over yet? Okay, how about now? Is it over yet? Okay, how about now? But that's why we have to have that relationship, why we have to have that preparedness to walk alongside our brothers and sisters. And discipleship is not just a one-off situation. I would encourage you, look in your communities. Be obedient to what God has for you. Be obedient to the call that he has on your life. And I also want to extend an invitation to the whole room. So if everybody will close your eyes, this is a very private moment. Nobody's looking around. If you are, I'm going to look you right in the eyeballs. If you are in this room and you think, man, this lifestyle of having a relationship with Jesus, of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, of knowing that I'm loved, I don't even understand what it is to be loved by Jesus. I don't understand what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who fully knows me and fully loves me. If that's you, and you have never given your life to Jesus, you have never asked him to be in a relationship with you, to be Lord of your life, or if you have, but you're feeling that call in your heart, and you think, oh man, there's something better for me than the way I'm living right now. I'm unsatisfied, I'm not happy. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. You can raise it up by your head. You can raise it up high, raise it up medium. God has something better for you. Okay, I see those hands. If you are in this room and maybe you've been walking with the Lord for 50 years, but there's a fire in your heart and the Lord is saying, I have a commission for you. I have an assignment for you to be in your community. And today you want to, in faith, step out and say, yes, Lord, I will answer that call. I will go into my community. I will represent you well. And if that's not a call that you've responded to, and you would like to respond to that call today, raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those hands. I thank you for your bravery, for your courage. Thank you. If you raise your hand for either of those, I want you to put your hand on your heart, and we're all just going to pray this together because we're in unity. We're the body of Christ. We're all together. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I say yes. I know that you have a calling for me. You know my name. You know my favorite color. You love me. I say yes to a relationship with you. I say yes to the calling you have on my life. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. I give you my yes. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And just listen. Maybe you're getting the name of somebody that he wants you to pray for or speak to. Maybe for the first time in a while or ever, he's telling you that he loves you, that he sees you. There's no reason for you to be ashamed. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for every person in this room. Thank you for the time that we get to spend with you. I thank you for every person who responded with their hands or who responded with their hearts. And I ask you, Father, that you would give us the opportunities to represent you well to the people in our lives, that we would be obedient to your voice. And Lord, that you would help us to be prepared with the words that we speak, with the way that we love people. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.